Welcome, everyone, to the wrestling show. I am Cab Manning from the Lingus Mafia podcast, along with Billy Body. What's happening, Billy?
Wrestling's gone down again.
Yeah, like I say, my broken record is SmackDown's better. It's more digestible. It's 2 hours. That's, and maybe it's the championship over there too. It's just more interesting.
No, even SmackDown was pretty bad this week, I thought.
Well, we will get into it because now it is a new season, which kind of thought there would be a new theme song, and there wasn't. Not on this show, at least.
The SmackDown paid all the money for their one, so I mean they're going to keep it.
Oh, is that what's going on? Because it's was that AC/DC?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Stephanie, it's weird when they do this. Stephanie and Triple H come out and try to like introduce everyone, and everyone's on stage, but you know, and everyone is still there. Nobody's gone yet, even though they should be. they've already done the draft. Why is everybody there?
Yeah, that makes no sense because they're gone. That's it. Like, I understand. Okay, so you promoted some stuff for this show.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a slight overlay, but I do not understand the overlay onto Monday, which we'll get to.
Another thing I don't get is why this is not leaving the company. So why do you have to do quote unquote the job when you leave? They try to make this like it's another whole place. And they're like, on your way out, you got to lose. It's like, what? No, you really don't. I'm not leaving the company. And it does no good for, oh, look who we got over here. Well, everyone just lost that came here. Great. Which we'll get to. They do the whole everybody gets introduced and they try to hype them up with Stephanie, you know, with her voice. And, of course, this ascends into a big brawl because everyone gets into a fight. And Lars shows up, of course. And he's looking for some fresh meat. So he comes out. He squashes Jeff.
I mean, that's the thing. At the start of the show, they're taking it in turns. I still don't think Triple H should be used in his capacity. I don't know why he's out there doing this because I still think that his returns and stuff could be used differently. I think, like, you know, you could be somebody that could referee a Hell in a Cell match or something on Sunday instead. She's just popped back onto TV out of nowhere because she's decided that once she's now made this commitment, because she stayed in her like bunker during the worst part of the pandemic, and now they're out. She wants to just immediately get herself back on TV, whereas her brother is now no longer on the other show. So I'm sure he'll find something else for him to do as well. But yeah, it's just constant with these guys. I don't know why you needed to even have this intro. Like, we didn't know who these people were. It just descends into a brawl, and then we get the planned match between Lars and Jeff. So this is dumb. But
yeah, totally planned.
I'm going to give them a pass on this whole show for all these people that came over, and Lars just squashes him. So they are going to go all in with this Lars thing, but obviously there's no route to Lars and Roman, and there's no route to Lars and Sammy, so he's going to have to kill babyfaces, but they need babyfaces for Roman. I feel we're going to run into some problems really soon with how this draft was done, which you'll see.
They were pushing the name The Freak quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, that's his name, right?
Him, you know, because I see, because you get it before me, on Fox, you get the, I'm on the West Coast, so I get that feed. And you were like, I think they've changed the name completely just to The Freak. And so when I'm watching it, I'm hearing it a lot, and I see it, though, on the screen, they still have his name. And then also on his tights, they still have his name. And they actually started saying his name at the end. So I don't know if they were just trying to push the fact, the freak. And, you know, he's still Lars Sullivan. I can't imagine that they would get rid of the name Lars Sullivan after all this.
Everybody needs like another name anyway. And, you know, we were talking about the nicknames last week, and Michael Cole was ridiculously going, the freak, the freak, the freak, the freak, the freak. I think that he will be turned into the freak, and I think they will lose the name Lars Sullivan, because I don't I don't think they want you to go online and see what Lars Sullivan is.
You know, very true. Very true. Get rid of the name.
So this may be the only time where they're doing something smart in this instance, but it's not very creative, is it?
If they look up the name Mitch, they'll find something else. We get a big long promo from New Day because, you know, this is their farewell. And it's a very special SmackDown. We're going to reflect on the great New Day. And they get their farewell match, and it's with between them and Sheamus and Nakamura, Cesaro. Kind of, who cares?
No, I didn't care about any of it. I didn't care about their little speech either. I don't think it... It's weird with this Thunderdome thing because you don't have the real reactions. So yeah. The only kind of talking you can do is like either... a serious speech where it's like one guy or where it's like two guys confronting each other. You can't do like this kind of banter of people where they're making jokes, because the joke promos and all that doesn't work. All the only thing that works is serious stare down into the camera promo or two guys doing something with each other. I mean, even later when Sasha and Bailey doing their thing, it doesn't work either. So whereas this is a little bit better than the Performance Center, there is still only a handful of things that work. We need to be getting to real crowds at some point. You mean you're in a state that doesn't care about people's lives. So just do it.
It's funny. You talk to a Republican, they go, Florida's doing great. They know what they're doing over there. I see a map and it's fucking beet red in Florida. I don't know what you're talking about. But Florida is a different animal.
But is it like the cases are now a lot higher than the deaths, right? Because the percentage of tasted, so they got it under control. Like, you guys are administering a medication to prevent people dying now.
I don't know about that. I just don't know why that's, unless you're the president, then you get the special treatments.
Well, this is the thing. Here we're talking about stop the spread of the virus, save lives, whatever. But we're talking about 3,000 people got it and all this stuff. But we're not talking about...
Well, people are dying.
People are dying, but it's not the amount that were dying at the start. Like, it's not like... it's like just very old and sick people. It's not like, you know, your 50-year-old, your healthy 50-year-old isn't dying no more.
Yeah, I mean, there's here and there, but it's... Who the fuck knows what's going on? So, Daniel Bryan comes back, and... he's like, oh, I love being here. This is great. The Thunderdome. And, you know, this is a new thing with the people on the fucking in the crowd, quote unquote. And now you get Brie and his daughter in the crowd. And the worst thing they could ever do is zoom into these pictures, because it's a fucking television screen. It gets so pixely and fucked up. You can't tell what you're looking at. So she's in the crowd, and he has to be, you know, oh, I'm so glad to be back. And Seth Rollins comes out and starts shit with him. And then, and I, what is with the fashion nowadays? I am not a fashionista. That's for sure. I wear a t-shirt. I wear jeans. I wear a sweatshirt zip up. I'm done. These guys with the, pants pulled up, so you're fucking... It's high water season. Fucking Christ.
We dress the same. I noticed that when we were on holiday. And I do that now. Like, I do that. Like, I don't take any special clothes to holiday because it was Bourbon Street. Anyway, I knew I could just wear my normal stuff. And I am also the t-shirt and jeans and Converse. And
yeah,
I have some. Like, I have a load of, I have a bunch of hoodies. And like lately, I've been buying these like, sports team tops, which I like, which have like which have polo necks in them, like so basically these sports teams are bringing out these like tops, but they used to have like the zip at the top, so it hasn't got a zip all the way down, but it's got a little zip at the top, but now they're replacing it with like polo necks. So I bought a few of those for like Man United, Packers, etc. But yeah, I mean, more or less it's the same fucking shit every day. I can't be bothered with these. No. I wouldn't have these suit jackets and these t-shirts and these, like, even like with my skinny jeans, like once I put on weight, once I got past the what am I now?
Yeah, I can't believe you wear these skinny jeans. I've seen those, or the ones that you cut off and make into jorts.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's it. I mean, since I'm not a 32 anymore, but I'm also not a 34. I have to wear a belt for a 34, but I can't get into 32s. So I haven't bought anything now that fits, that is super tight or anything like that. So I am now into the old man phase of my dressing.
Yeah, it's way more comfortable. I mean, I go to work with a pair of jeans. I have a golf shirt, so it has a collar, and then I throw a jacket on, like a windbreaker. That's it.
I will pay obscene amounts for t-shirts. Like, I mean, when I say obscene amounts, like, I think 50, 60 quid for a t-shirt is quite a lot. But it's like I'll buy stuff where, like, the other day I bought this t-shirt, and it just had a picture printed on it of Mike Tyson walking his tiger, and I wanted it, so I bought it. So I will buy good t-shirts, but I will just not buy anything, you know. I won't wear a shirt, or I won't have, I mean, some of this, I won't dress, even though I can afford to. I can afford what Dominic and Ray wear. I just won't.
I'd rather die than wear what they have. I've always said, if I had a fucking shitload of money, it would not change how I dress. That's for fucking sure. I mean, I plan on, I'm going to Chicago in December. And, you know, I usually bring all my sweatshirts and stuff. I love a hoodie. That's what you live in over here in the wintertime. You don't even wear a jacket. You just wear a hoodie. And over there, you kind of can't. You have to have a jacket. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm not even going to bring any with me. All I'm going to do is buy them when I'm there, because I'll buy all bear shit like I always do. So I'm like, oh, I can't wait. More hoodies and more fucking shirts for football. Because that's all I fucking wear. I have a little section of dress shirts. It's to go out to a very special dinner here and there. That is it. So Seth Rollins and his high waters come out here, and then Mysterio and Dominic come out with their awful clothing, and right before everything happens, we get Murphy running out there. It looks like he's gonna side with Rollins, because Rollins gets back in the ring and says to Daniel Bryan, let's team up, which is so fucking retarded, after he was just, you know, talking shit to him. Oh, now let's be friends. So Murphy gets in there and sides with Rollins, and then jumps on him and starts beating him up and puts his hand out to Mysterio and Dominic and says, you know, let's be friends. And thank God they say, go fuck yourself. And they don't do that, you know, stupid storyline. Go, oh, okay, we're friends now. No problem.
I hope his daughter's back next week. She wasn't on there.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
SmackDown Tag Team Championship here. Street Profits are the champions, as you well know. And they are going against Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler. It's a disqualification.
Let me ask you a housekeeping question.
Yeah.
I want your opinion on this.
Welcome to the wrestling show, everybody.
Do you recognize... No, I'm talking like wrestling.
Okay. Jesus Christ. Go ahead.
For the record books. Do you recognize the Street Profits as Triple Crown all brand champions of NXT, Raw, and SmackDown? Like, have they...
It does ruin things. It's...
They were handed the sweep, right?
Yeah.
Were they not?
Yeah, and you know what? I thought the same thing when it was hand the belts, because I go... I like the record book type of stuff. And I go, how are they going to even put this in there? It's there has to be like a big explanation next to the titles in the books.
Are they 7 months or 7 days?
Oh boy. It's a really good question. I think it turns into just tag team championships when it comes to the record now. And they have to just start saying they've been tag team champions. It completely fucks it up, though. You're 100% right. It's if you're trying to say Triple Crown stuff, it completely fucks everything up.
Well, I'm sure they'll claim it but will, you know, have all their matrixes attached to it and whatnot. But it's just stupid. I don't know why they did this. I mean, they should not have done this. When one belt called SmackDown and one belt's called Raw. Yeah. If they wanted to get to this, they could have like done some kind of if they lost their belts and then moved over to SmackDown and then won the SmackDown titles off the people who, you know, they could have.
Yeah, how come they didn't have to do the job on the way out?
I don't understand this, right? Nakamura and Cesaro were the champions 2 weeks ago. They're there on the show, yeah?
Yeah.
Right? So why do you not just have the Street Profits lose their titles on Raw and then get drafted? And, I mean, you could have even done something like this. You could have even had the Shinsuke, that you could have had some backstage interaction with them where they were talking about who the best tag team champions were. They actually already have history of this, right? So they could have met each other backstage, and they could have been like, "We're the real tag team champions," and "We're the real champions," or whatever. Mm-hmm. So Cesaro and Nakamura could have come out and cost them the Raw tag team titles while they were allowed to be on both shows. Then they could have gone to SmackDown and been in a proper feud that people care about, not this Ziggler and Rude shit. Whereas on Raw, you know, you could just draft the New Day over to Raw, and they could beat whoever beat the Street Profits, or at least be in a feud with them.
Well. The problem with your idea, Billy, is that it makes sense.
I was going to wonder what you were going to say when you said the problem with the idea. Because there wasn't one.
Yeah, this is what the fuck. Sasha and Bayley now to have their contract signing. I like these little outfit changes of Sasha.
I didn't like
ponytail.
This hair change. No, that didn't really work.
I wasn't bothered by it. I was looking at the outfit more so.
I think when you're wearing a wig,
mm-hmm.
I think like the long hair disguises it. This really did look like something that she'd put on. I mean, it may as well have had a cap attached to it.
We have Banks signing the contract, no problem. And now Bayley doing the "I'm not signing this." Which is like, now I'm confused and I go, so does that mean the match doesn't happen? She didn't sign the contract. Are we not going to get that match? Is this how they're going to stretch it out?
Well, we can sign the contract on the way to the ring now. That's been established.
Yeah, it is true. But I mean, this makes it look like she's just not going to give her a title shot. She's not having the match.
Yeah, so. But they're promoting it to carry on this week. So,
all right. So
I think with this feud and the Drew and Orton one, it's kind of like, let's just get to it now. I mean, it's weird because I wanted this to be stretched out to Mania, and I think it would have been fresher if they'd been off TV and Sasha had come back and mm-hmm. won the Rumble, and then we could have started doing and saying things all over again. But yeah,
I think they're more like, you know what, you've had enough time off. And they're paying her for being gone. And I think they're just like, nah, we need you to work. So they got rid of it.
I would have had it at Mania, and I would have done something like where they're kind of together again, but they're not together again, obviously, because mm-hmm. Sasha had her neck broken by and they won the Rumble. So after Sasha won the Rumble, what I would have done at that little mini pay-per-view is I'd have had somebody nearly beat Bayley. Mm-hmm. And then Sasha comes mm-hmm. down and helps Bayley retain the belt. And then beats her up at the end of the match to show she's not friends with her, just to make sure they have it on her. And then Sasha could quickly evolve into the feud with the person who she cost the title. So say, for example, who's on SmackDown? Who's another woman on SmackDown?
It's a good question. Billy Kay.
I was going to say her too as well, but obviously that's not realistic. Okay, so let's say Billy Kay has the match at the Elimination Chamber or whatever, or Fastlane or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Sasha Banks has already booked her spot, but Billy Kay's about to win the title. So Sasha comes down and nails Billy Kay and helps Bayley retain because she only wants Bayley at Mania. And then you get a Billy Kay Sasha match at the next pay-per-view, and then you get to Mania. So it's kind of like she's now using those three months to keep Bayley as champion. So it's like they're together, but they're still doing the interference. But after she helps her, she keeps beating her up too. Like there's so many things you could have done. That's just an idea that I just threw out like in seconds. But my 2 second ideas are like now better than what I'm seeing.
It's true. It's I feel like Kurt Angle. It's true. Roman goes against Braun, and since Braun's leaving the company, he needs to do the job. And we get another low blow spot when he's being pinned and all that shit. And so Roman wins. The most important part of the match is then old cousin Jay comes out and says, you know, he's standing there. And they do this well constantly with this, with Roman saying, you know, he loves him. And, you know, this is for him. He don't want to do this to him. Look what he could do to him. Look what he could do to Braun. He won't do it to him. And, you know, levels him with a chair. And then they go to do, you know, their turn the back. Roman turns his back on his cousin. And eventually then his cousin punches him in the face and then takes a chair to him and beats the shit out of him. Meanwhile, he beats him with a chair, but, like, it has no effect on Roman because then Roman just punches him in the face and knocks him out.
Did you see he snuck in the low blow kick out?
Yeah, I said that on here. We get the low blow spot again.
Yeah, but the thing is that when they have something good and new, mm-hmm. they then have
to oversaturate.
Yeah, and then they transfer so they transfer this story into Braun learned that from having it done to him, and then he uses it himself on Raw. It's so fucking stupid. Like, just let one guy have his thing. But I guess when it is two different companies, it doesn't really make a difference.
Yeah, completely. We're on Raw now. And Alexa starts this. She's in the ring. And anytime she says, let me in, I cringe.
Yeah. Just one comment about that I think I missed in there. Brian Alvarez tweeted that this was the best SmackDown of the year. Which it absolutely was not the best SmackDown of the year. So I should have known from that, because they're the ones that are like, AEW's great all the time. But this SmackDown was exactly like an AEW show with the wrestling matches and the wrestling matches and the wrestling matches. So I should have known from that comment that's what it was. But now we have such a big divide between the people that are covering wrestling who are the most known, which isn't me. It's Alvarez and Meltzer and that. And they're going down this stylistic approach of hours of wrestling because they swear blind that AEW do better numbers when they put on more wrestling. Mm-hmm. Well, AEW is a wrestling show for a very, very small core audience. Like, if they will get their 0.8 or their 1.1 at a maximum. But everybody else, like me and you, we don't want this much wrestling. And I tell you, this SmackDown was much better than Raw, but mm-hmm. this is the worst SmackDown that they've done for weeks. This was like for the season premiere to, I don't know what got into their head where they were like, let's do a match again. I just was so bored. I don't know why I read into his comment, but I'll never read into anything that him and Meltzer ever say again. We know that they're not reliable for stories, and now they're not even reliable for opinions either.
Their own opinion isn't even right.
But yeah, let's talk about the Star of Raw, because this is the fucking this is the most unbelievable like start.
It's so great because if you guys could see the text messages me and Billy always go back and forth with, like, I'll be watching Raw and you'll just get, oh my God, this is fucking horrible. What the fuck are they doing? So Alexa with the, you know, let me in. And then Wyatt shows up, or the Fiend, and they stand there hand in hand and they just stand there. And all of a sudden Retribution shows up and I fucking giggle every time. And I said this to Billy the other day, I go, their thing, remember when this first started, what they were doing? They were pounding the ring and hitting the ring floor and yelling. And that was their version of rioting, I guess. And what they do now is they jump the railing and they slap the table now with their hands. And they're like, hey, and they slap the table. They slap the ring. This is their intimidation. So they come out there. And they get up to the ring and they're going to attack the Fiend. And the lights go out and the Fiend is gone. And one of the guys even like slaps the floor on the ring, like, where did he go? The Hurt Business comes out.
And do you remember at this point I said it was bad that five guys didn't let him escape? Mm-hmm. Remember that was my my original criticism, this group is so bad. They let him escape.
Yeah.
Jesus, I did not know it was going to happen in the next 20 minutes because I figured, all right, this is my thing. Hurt Business comes out. They beat them. They move on. Like, they win their first, like, feud or match or whatever. Like, you've got Cedric there. You've got Shelton there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, T-Bag's going to just pin one of them. Or Mustafa Ali gets to do his, you know, his splash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we showcase them. We get them the win. The win that they need. Nope. So, you carry on. You're breaking it down. Like,
Hurt Business comes out there, and it's 4-on-4. And they win. They fucking win. The Hurt Business beats them. The Fiend arrives after, and then he just stands like he it's, how did this happen, Billy? Do they decide we're just fucking we tried? Because now it's one guy beating everybody up.
Yeah, it's one guy
takes everyone out.
They talk about during the show, it's like the Fiend decimated the whole of Retribution. So it's like, that's it then. Like, the Retribution is completely and utterly dead at this point. And the other thing about it as well is that it almost seemed like they wanted to, like, taper expectations where they were like, look, we've given up. We want you to know that we've given up. We want you to stop criticizing us because... Mm-hmm. We are not booking it like the NWO. So please end the comparisons of NWO, Evolution, DX. You need to be looking at this as a clear group that's not even at Nexus level. You're looking at a Job Squad, Right to Censor, DOA, Oddities, LWO, Los Boricuas.
I don't even think it's on those levels.
X Factor. Well,
RTC, yes.
I think that, well, the others are lower. RTC is the highest group there, isn't it?
No, I think DOA won matches. Barique was won matches. That was a good little faction thing when that all split up the nation. I couldn't tell you what the hell the Latin World Order did.
No, but they're telling you that these are the groups. This is a mid to lower level group, and eventually, once they lose these matches, a couple of them may go on and feud with the New Day. At best, we're going to go for that title. Like, Ali and T-Bag might win the tag titles or something. Like, that's it. I think they sent out the clear message here where they were like, don't stop tweeting us about Retribution.
Leave us alone.
Leave us alone. Don't think that it's this. Look, they lost. They're shit. They got killed by one guy. This is the level. Shut up now. And just, they're just going to be on the show. We said it was going to be one thing. Like, it may have looked like a big deal when we ended a few shows of it over the summer, but we've now decided to scale it back to these groups. So stop tweeting us. Is that not what you took away from this?
Yes. Yeah. That's God. And it's sad that I say, I hope this isn't the case. But I mean, I don't really give a fuck about this group at all. So I really don't care if it's a waste.
I think almost the non-unveiling of certain people was to protect them from being associated with the group because they needed something
to
be on TV.
Come back as different people.
And they'll come back as people that are not stained by this. I mean, Ali is.
Yeah.
But you also saw Ali being shielded from the beating of the Fiend. So he's the only one that you need to bother with in this group.
And talk about when he reveals all his shit later on that we'll get to. Jesus Christ, this is some reveal. AJ, he shows up to the ring with the guy from Raw Underground, the big giant black guy, and goes against Riddle. And just beats Riddle, which I'm like, boy, oh boy, poor Riddle. What the fuck happened? Now he's just fucking loses. And the first thing I'm thinking too is, so, Underground's gone? Are we completely done with this now? Everybody's still got the fucking plague? What happened?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't mind this for AJ because, like, this is like the Diesel and Sean. It's like big Blackie Cool and style. So, I mean, this guy didn't talk for months, and now Shane's like loaned him out to AJ Styles, which is funny.
So, does he have a name, or is he just going to be Big Niggy Cool?
I don't think they can call him that, but they'll call him They'll come up.
I swear I saw that on the screen. Is that just me? I don't know.
When we look at the names for Retribution, he's going to have like some kind of name like linked to that. Like the
it might be Big Nagi Ghoul. I'm not sure. That's what someone told me in the industry. I don't know. It might be reported.
What was his name? Did he have a name? Like,
I don't know. I don't remember.
Shane never called him anything.
You know, it's a very good question. I don't know if he ever did.
All right. I don't know.
Orton versus Drew. Do we see a package? And which isn't ruined by Keith Lee, like the like the feud was going to be.
Yeah, it's funny they left that out because like the whole feud was ruined by Keith Lee, but this video package doesn't tell you that. It just tells you that it's all just moving along nicely to this Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah. All right, we move on, and Asuka beats Lana. Imagine that. It's the Lana match. And you know what's funny is I text you, I hope this is one kick and over with, where she finally gets this title shot. And she was training on Instagram and all this shit and just gets kicked and loses.
Have you been noticing when Drew cut his promo and stuff, have you noticed that this nickname, the Indomitable, is actually sticking? Like, that's what he is now. He's not I was thinking, you know, last week we were talking about how he's performed the psychopath stuff, but
I haven't even noticed it, to tell you the truth.
Oh yeah, it's there, the Indomitable Drew McIntyre. And I thought, like, I had to look up, I had an idea, it was something about dominating, but he's not, you're not, it stands for, it means you're not able to dominate him. That's it.
I'm gonna have to.
He's indomitable.
Jesus Christ. Just call him the unbeatable. Okay, here's the Lana match. Nia puts the moron through the table again, which is fucking fun. I'm like, wow, this is unbelievable that they keep just doing this to Lana.
Unbelievable she hasn't said no.
Yeah. So Shayna and Nia cut a promo. And what a bunch of worthless teams now come out. My girlfriend Mandy Rose comes out. I don't like the whole flexing thing. It's annoying as hell. Especially when they're in shape. They're not like fucking China with a fucking muscle. So what are they doing?
I don't like a walk to the ring full stop.
You don't like her walk to the ring, you say?
No, that weird like walk.
Where it's that 1 foot going across the other one. That fucking modelly walk. Yeah. I was just looking at those thick thighs saving lives. That's for sure. The Riot Squad. Poor Liv. I mean, what the fuck? What is this? Why is this back?
Why are they here?
Are they on the other show?
Yeah.
You know what? When you asked for people on the other side, I almost said them, but I go, but I saw them on Raw last night, so it can't be. Why? What the fuck?
Even said it when they come out. They went, they've been drafted to SmackDown again, but they're taking advantage of tonight's.
Oh my god! Why are they there?
Of tonight's opportunity. What opportunity? The quarterly draft invitational still exists. there's like an overlay where after the draft you're still allowed to go on one more show. But the thing is that Raw was the last night of the draft, so SmackDown already promoted stuff. Raw didn't. So why are these people here? Like, why are they on the show?
Well, they broke up Sonya and Mandy, and they broke up the Iconics for only them to be tag teams with someone else.
I don't understand the Iconics one at all, because it does look like her and Peyton are doing a thing where they are going to team up and not be able to get on the same page, unless that was just for 1 week.
Yeah, it's... I'm annoyed by it anyway. There's a four-way, and Nia and Shayna beat them anyway, so who gives a shit? Elias sings...
Who can face Oscar at this? It's going to just be the women who already have the tag belts, right?
Yes. Yes, 100%.
When Sasha beats Bayley over the course of the remainder of the winter, you're going to see Sasha in a feud with Carmella, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There needs to be one title only, and let them go back and forth. It's fucking stupid. There's not enough people for women. to do this.
Not credible ones.
So Elias does his concert. Jeff is one of the guitarists and attacks him. Jeff's screaming, "I didn't run you over." Who cares? The New Day are talking.
But they knew he didn't run him over because it was a guy with a red head. And they told him last week it was Elias. Like, you actually got run over by somebody with red hair. And he was like, "I don't care. I want to fight Jeff." And here, like, I'm worried at this point, which I put in my notes, that because we know that he does all this like singing shit.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to have like some kind of fucking...
Oh, they're going to have American Idol.
They're going to have a sing-off, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, like, Christ.
Where the Thunderdome's going to pretend that it's cheering for Jeff and not liking a lot. Like, this is 100% going to happen. Because I even know that Jeff had a deal with the WWE in his new contract that his new music would be that song that he had, that No More Words, because he wanted it back when crowds were there.
Oh, fuck. I wonder if they're going to hire people from, like, The Voice and actually judge them both. Shit like that. Do you think they do this?
I mean,
because, well, Fox has these stupid fucking shows and they're linked with them where, you know, it's Guess the Fucking Singer and all that bullshit, Mass Singer. So, and that fucking Ken from The Hangover is the host, and he's been on wrestling before. So, does this happen? Are they going to actually do a judging show now? I don't put it past it happening.
I think they just do a sing-off between these two.
Oh, God. Okay, The New Day, they're talking in the ring, and Sheamus interrupts, and it sets up Sheamus versus Kofi. It was rough to watch the back and forth talking with The New Day, just talking shit. Yeah, it was. I was like, okay, if I wasn't watching it live, I would have totally been fast forwarding.
Ashy. Yeah, you're so ashy.
It turns into all that shit.
They're so bad, and they're so. I don't understand who likes them. And they even bring down Sheamus, who's been like turning shit things into good stuff recently, but even he cannot make anything out of this.
Yeah. So they have a match and nobody cares about this as well. And there's nobody to face Drew after Orton because they do not help their bad guys.
Yeah. I just said like, assuming that, Braun comes out of this Keith Lee thing because Keith Lee's dead, that's going to be the only guy. And I think the Fiend might be a bad guy, but I mean, at this point, is the Fiend looks like the main attraction on the show the way they did it this week. So you could actually even be heading towards Orton. I mean, I don't think you are, but Orton winning the belt and feuding the Fiend seems to make more sense than Drew keeping the belt and feuding the Fiend, because nobody's going to cheer him, because the main part of the show is Alexa and Bray, which is why they deliberately get it in twice.
Ali has a big promo in the back, and he does the whole, "Oh, I might as well just tell you I was the hacker on SmackDown." This is the reveal, Billy. By the way, that was me.
The promo was actually fine.
All his talking was fine. It was the reveal stuff.
It didn't bother me because I can't complain that they never tie anything up, and then they tied something together, and...
But the way they tie it together, there's no... They could have done something. He could have continued to hack on the other side.
Oh, they absolutely could have done something, and this is an absolute waste. I mean, it's not his fault, and also, like, this should have been done in the ring and not been done backstage. But as I said, there was a clear establishing of the fact that they are not a serious group, even though they could be a serious group with this reasoning and a couple of more like decent people. But I think they're trying to get out of this. They're not trying to damage any of the big guys who they'll probably do something with. And this is going to be Ali's only thing that he does.
WWE coming off the heels of the successful show they had on the network, Save the Last Ride. We have more Undertaker stuff, which looks very interesting. And I look forward to watching that. They're really trying to bleed as much as they can from that special. Now they're just doing stories about The Undertaker.
I still think he'll wrestle again.
He's got to. Of course, he has to. As soon as he's asked. Titus says, "I want to be in the Hurt Business. I'm a black guy. And so her business says, no, fuck you, and jumps on him and beats the shit out of him. And they say, go back to doing your charity work. Miz and Morrison.
He was drafted. He was drafted as well. He was drafted before Aleister Black.
So Tucker has to find a tag team partner to face Miz and Morrison. And he goes, I've searched the world wide and found a great luchador. And so pretty much Nacho Libre comes out, and it's Otis in a mask, which I enjoyed. I just think it's fucking funny. And they beat the shit out of Miz and Morrison in a match and then win. So Miz and Morrison are a waste as usual. NXT advertises. What do you think of Shotzi Blackheart? And they're doing the Halloween Havoc stuff.
That question isn't a note for me to ask you, actually. But
I wouldn't be able to tell you shit because I haven't watched NXT except for the pay-per-views. I haven't watched shit for NXT.
So do you not like this sort of this grunge stuff? Like with her, she wears like these fishnets, and she's like basically like one of those emo whores.
She's a better looking Ruby Riott.
Yeah, but she's also doing like all the Halloween Havoc stuff. She's like mainly this. They're using that to push her as kind of Halloween Havoc person.
See, I haven't seen anything of that other than the commercial where it said Halloween Havoc is coming, and she's standing there like Spider-Man.
I'm trying to decide if I like her or not.
I love the fact that they bring back like Halloween Havoc and shit, but it should not be just the regular NXT show. It should be the fucking takeover. That bothers me. That really fucking bothers me that they just make it a fucking regular show. Now you have here, Mandy joins Four Idiots and becomes the Oddity Idiot. Your thoughts?
That was it. That was my thought. Okay. I honestly find people less, I found her much less attractive as of late when she's been involved in this kind of shit. And just generally, I don't like it when she talks either. Like she looked great on Miz TV last week, but she has this, she's not good yet. And she's been there a while and she's not getting good at the talking and the delivery. And just generally, I don't understand what she is. Because she's comes across as this sort of she in ways she acts like pretentious and above people, like she should be a heel, and she sounds like a heel, but she's a babyface. She's really, really lost. And then the only way you really fully understand that she's a babyface is when they put her in dumb babyface stuff, because we know over the years babyfaces are dumb idiots that act like children. So I'm not into her at all at the moment. I mean, obviously, I look at her and go, yeah.
I think she's very capable. And, like, when she has a match, I'm not worried. Like, I think she's even better than Natalya, to tell you the truth.
Well, here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Sasha Banks is doing a lot with a little, right? When you look at her and think, you know, that's kind of your average looking girl. But the way she conducts herself on TV, she does a lot with it. And you want to bang her hard because that's really how it's supposed to come across in terms of these women. None of them are as good looking as what you can find on porn. But over the weeks and months, the intrigue builds up and then you develop a liking for them. That's why like guys were in love with Becky Lynch. But with Mandy, it doesn't seem to be happening. She's doing very little with a lot. Like she's not being like sexualized or utilized properly at all. Like there was a segment a while back where Lana was in a hotel room and I can't remember who she was like,
with Enzo.
Yeah, that was it. And that was like really good for
that
her.
Was fun.
but there's been nothing like that with Mandy or anything. Even when she was on the date with like Otis and the date with I forgot about that. Yeah, that was
stealing, trying to steal one of the Usos.
Yeah, like that was good. But otherwise, there's been no utilization of that, and then she doesn't conduct herself well either. I don't know. I'm just not. I think her wrestling character and everything, and the way she's coming across on TV, is really letting her down. Like she wouldn't be winning your little competition for me.
Oh, you're crazy. She guaranteed. She wears different outfits now. She doesn't have to have gold on all the time. I'm thrilled with it. Let's get into Firefly Funhouse and the excuse to have Bray on again.
This is an example of how a person can move past these other women and reestablish herself and immediately get back into your thoughts when from being completely stale and boring like Mandy is now to what Alexa's doing now.
I like the little Freddy Krueger type of outfit too she had on. I don't know. I don't think, because the problem is they can't like ugly her up. So she can't have some goofy makeup or anything like that because she's still got to look good looking. So I think they're kind of struggling on what to do. It's pretty much she has to have outfits. She has to have like goth outfits, but keep her face the same. This Firefly Funhouse has nothing. There's nothing to do here other than have Alexa in it.
Yeah, they just want to get Bray on TV twice so they can advertise a funhouse. There is obviously some sort of statistical data telling them that he's moving the numbers, so they put him on the show twice. I mean, the biggest barometer would be merchandising, because that's something you can completely weigh up, and he's still been top for a long time. So they want to just get him onto TV twice. There's no feud established here at all. But you know what? I'll take a funhouse telling me nothing over just these boring matches that we have here on the show. And this is down to like the lack of star power. Like I put here in my notes, there's 6 or 7 stars, I think, that are on this show. Mm-hmm. At a push, because Charlotte is one and she isn't there. Drew and Orton are, but they're not on this show. Bray is the one I'm using as an example. You get him on twice. Mm-hmm. AJ is because he's done so much. And then you're really pushing to make a case for Braun Strowman and Lashley at this point. Keith Lee's dead. The main event proves that Keith Lee is completely dead, and we'll talk about that now. But yeah, it's such lacking star power that you have to get them on twice. And through association, Alexa, who's been a star on and off at different times, is a star again. She's not equal to him, but she's automatically above all the women. Like, she's a bigger star than Oscar is, who has the fucking title.
It's true. The last match we have going here is Bald Strowman versus Baby Gro Lee.
Yep.
Braun wins with a knee to the balls. And a
head to the balls. Head to the balls.
Jesus Christ. This is a fucking feud. I look at Keith Lee and I'm like, just thrown in the garbage. Just fucking wasted. This is what Vince does. I don't know if Vince is jealous that Triple H is creating things. And he's like, I'm just going to fucking fuck that up. Just to put him in his place.
There is no way that any kid with a pen could have made this any worse than this. When you're looking at what Retribution and Keith Lee were, right? Mm-hmm. And you're saying to me, okay, this is what they are 6 weeks later. They're fucking dead. Like, I don't care about Keith Lee at all. Even though he retaliates afterwards and comes out on top, he's a fat man in a baby suit. His record is like 2-40 at this point. He was losing all those matches by DQ and everything. And now he just gets flat out pinned with a boot and a shit boot as well. Like, Braun's never beaten anyone with a boot. He couldn't even be bothered to like power slam him.
And then afterwards, he gets up and he kicks fucking Braun in the balls.
Yeah, I just said that, but like that doesn't rehabilitate him from his loss. Fuck.
No, it's like, okay, he didn't stay down, I guess. So he got it. That's always the way, though, in wrestling. You lose, but if you're the one who leaves at the upper hand, you're forgotten about. You forget about the loss.
I don't understand what happened. Like, he's drafted third round. Retribution's drafted third round. They shouldn't have been drafted anyway. I just think it got to the point where it was like they're saying, right, on the chalk, let's get the chalkboard out. Let's think of ways that Retribution are going to be on our show without being signed to our show. And it's like Vince was like, I'm tired of doing this for 40 minutes every week. Let's just sign them and put them on the show and let's end this charade every single week. Because that's obviously what happened. They obviously had to find ways for them to be on the show without being employed by the show, and they couldn't be bothered to think about it anymore. Even though they have a library of the NWO and trying to see how they ended up being there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you can acknowledge that these are your contracted people that have turned on you, but then you just have to explain why can't they fire them? And it'd be like, well, somebody gave them ironclad contracts, and that somebody could have been Triple H rather than him doing the bullshit that he's doing on Raw or on SmackDown on Friday. But there's no explanation for nothing. They just quit. They flat out quit the moment that they gave them jobs, and then they're like drafted to cause chaos, which they don't cause, because one guy can beat up five of them. Keith Lee has gone from music change to outfit change to DQ loss to DQ loss to DQ loss. He's now like feuding with Braun, being beaten with boots and then kicking him in the ball. They're now in like the nutshot feud of AJ and Nakamura from like 2 years ago. Like, this is, and Roman is trying to establish the nutshot as like a massive trademark on the other show, which he should have had because he's the number one person in all of wrestling. So he should have his own stuff.
Like, everyone should just bring a cup to the ring, like we were saying with the AJ and Nakamura one. They're like, why wouldn't you have worn a cup by now? This happens every match.
It's so unbelievably bad. Like, nobody could do that. You couldn't do this worse if you were trying to do it worse.
The way the show closes out is Orton's going to make a very important announcement or speech while sitting in the fucking cell of Hell in a Cell.
So here's the thing. This is where they prove all of our points wrong, because they actually show you what a well-run and organized company they are, and who obviously don't have bad ideas and don't write their TV at the last minute, because their Hell in a Cell is already up 6 days early.
Mm.
And then what tops that even more? So we have a boring promo. He talks about his life in Hell in a Cell, like he's the king of the match with his 4-3 record. Drew comes out and he beats WWE for organization because he has sourced the script in the afternoon, and he hides some bolt cutters and he gets into the cell, and then we never see what happens because they cut off the show. So they run out of time for the main event development of the show. On a show that had eight women wrestling for no reason earlier on.
I can't believe the show went off as he walked. At least I could see him tackling Orton and it going away. So it's right before he fucking like kills him. I'm like, he goes to the cage. Okay, great. This is, and I hate a red cage, by the way. It's rough.
It's rough to look at. All he had to do was have him like going to the Orton run into the ring. Drew runs into the ring. Orton runs out of the ring and runs out of the cage. Right?
Yeah. Something.
That's it.
God. So that's the end of your Raw, for God's sake.
Remember when they used to have, Raw was going to continue on the network?
Yeah. Yeah. It was that runover shit. It was the app, actually. It wasn't even a network.
Why wouldn't you do that? At least for something like this.
I mean, you're asking for logic from this place, this company. It's not happening.
This place makes so much money. Like, it makes you.
I think that's why they don't have to do anything. They make the money anyway.
Can you imagine making money? Can you imagine, like, I was on my job, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I handed out losing betting picks every day and got richer.
Oh my god, it's almost like as if you change your picks or something and then would lose.
Can you imagine like not going in today, or like not making you, or just throwing your deliveries away, or whatever you do? I don't know, I think you deliver stuff, but like but can you just, whatever you do, can you imagine not doing it? Like, you deliver,
well, I practically don't do my job anyway, so it's okay. I get away with not working. I have the Billy mentality. I've worked for years and not had to work.
But you need to get, you basically, you need to get things to people, right?
Yeah, I sell things and then I will bring them to them. Yes.
God, imagine like you just deliver the empty boxes.
That's pretty much, and then make them order it again.
Yeah.
Oh God. Well, that is your weekly rundown. and we've done it in under 1 hour this week. Aren't you guys happy? And you have a Hell in a Cell to look forward to. God bless you all. I'll be at an outside movie theater, Billy, during Hell in a Cell, so I'll have to catch up on it Monday. Because they're playing Ghostbusters, and I'll have to be there.
Do you know that I had a story that I was going to report this week, and they've now fucked it up, because Hell in a Cell, as of last Friday, was supposed to be 3 Hell in a Cell matches on a pay-per-view, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way they were going to make it special was to actually not have any other matches on it.
Oh, wow.
And then I received no info that had changed. So it was going to start with Drew and Orton, mm-hmm. and they were going to get like 45 minutes. And then it was going to be like the Roman match, which has obviously got a different stipulation because I quit.
Yeah.
And then it was going to close out with Sasha and Bayley. That was what they was going to do. They were going to do 3 Hell in a Cells in a row. So okay. It stood out. And then I'm watching Raw, and Elias and Jeff Hardy's added to the show.
Yeah.
So
pre-show.
It is the pre-show.
I don't know. That's my guess.
Oh, then maybe they're still doing what I... Because I was told on Friday that that's what they were doing.
That I love that idea, if that's the case. Because now that it's not having to be a real pay-per-view, they could do whatever the fuck they want. So I think that's great.
Yeah, 3 matches, all important, all for titles.
And digestible, done.
Finishes in like 2.5 hours. The only problem would be trying to make them different. But when this match got announced, I don't know if that is a pre-show match. It just doesn't sound like one.
Mm. And is it in the cell?
What, Elias and Jeff?
Yeah.
No, of course not.
Okay. No, thank God.
But also, like, the other thing is that The Fiend is all over the fucking posters and the music for this. So where does he get involved?
Fuck. Yeah, no shit. Oh, God. It's too much to fucking... And shit's going to happen on SmackDown that'll fuck this whole thing up anyway. So where should we find all your stuff, Billy?
Go to the dirtysheets.com for wrestling stuff. Like, all the news is up there. It's like $5. There's a $40 package there for UFC, WWE, and boxing. We did not do well with UFC and boxing at the weekend, so we'll be looking to bounce back with UFC 254 this weekend and Hell in a Cell. So we'll make all our money back, because we're not going to lose money on UFC 254 and definitely not in Hell in a Cell. So anybody that had that shitty UFC card on Saturday, you'll get your money back. I'm the only person that comes on shows and who does gambling and says we lost at anything.
Because no one else loses, right?
No, I'm the worst. I only win 70% of the time.
Yeah, listen to our gambling show tomorrow, because there's going to be some good stories I have for everybody.
Oh my God! What?
Such good stories. First, it's going to be Billy eating Tom's asshole and telling me how much better Tom is than Aaron.
I'm going to, honestly, I need to get, after what happened yesterday, and we'll leave you with this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get some kind of tattoo. I'm considering some kind of tattoo, not specifically the score of Arizona and the Cowboys, but some kind of reminder to never
don't change
your mind of anything based on the opinions of people who have got jobs that are, you know, higher paying or considered to be more expert than you, but really, really they're not. Just because you're like Colin Cowfuck or whoever, or you have a YouTube channel with tens and thousands of subs, or you're on a fucking TV show like the one I'm watching right now, Good Morning Football. Just because you're on any of this stuff and you have a take on the game, don't change.
Nope.
And I did, because everybody's like, this is Andy Dalton's not a bad quarterback, and this Zeke's going to get more of the
ball. What was my excuse to you about why not to? I said you had all these stats about running the ball and stat after stat, and I went, Dallas has a horrible defense.
Oh, and I knew I accounted for that, and I thought, and I played the over too, and you know what I thought, like, all right, so if Dallas loses this game, it's going to be like well over the total, because that means they're going to not have sorted their defense out, and they're still going to give up 30 plus points. So you have a chance of cashing at both ends. I didn't know they would score like nothing.
They scored a touchdown with like 30 seconds or something.
Oh, you know, they had the ball with a minute and a half left, and I figured like we still got a chance that they'll go up and score a garbage touchdown. But they're the only team that are above the point, the garbage points. Usually you'll get fucked by garbage points, and when you need them, no one tries to go for them. But anyway, we'll talk about it on the NFL show. If you want my betting picks, go over to lockbetting.com. This isn't a good advertisement for that, but like I have been winning a lot of money this month. Just made a very bad decision yesterday. And we're not talking about my decision to – I took the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes to not throw an interception as my two bets there. So I won two bets and lost two bets. But the way I'm talking about it is like obviously I got – actually, I lost three bets.
Because it's more frustrating on the loss because you go, why did I do that?
I won two, lost three. I forgot I also lost a prop bet on Zeke to be handed the ball over 20.5 times. And he would have done – and that would have won easily if they could have actually trusted him to not fucking lose it
fumble
with his butt.
And that's the problem. They get down by so much, it's going to be throwing the ball constantly. So
with a fucking quarterback that nobody wants.
Yeah.
All right. So that's a tease for that show. But there's still lots to hammer me about because
the
my
Packers.
Quarterback. A quarterback is a bait. You know what? Put that audio on the show for this
about
the
how you're gonna down how you're gonna win the whole thing and that's easy.
The baller versus Baylor.
Oh, that yeah. Okay, I'll have something in the beginning of the show. It's about five minutes long, and they'll hear it tomorrow.
I want to talk about that with you.
Okay. All right. And find all my nonsense at Lingus Mafia. You will hear more updates each week about the Russo show that's coming out. And you want to subscribe to that Russo show. It'll be on Google Play. It's on Apple, iTunes, all that kind of stuff. And that is podcast on a poll. And their Twitter is tweets on a poll. So follow that. You'll get all the updates. I actually just did the intro for it. I made the theme song last night for Podcast on a Poll. So everything's getting geared up and set up. So that's it, everybody. We will see you next week. Enjoy whatever that is, Hell in a Cell. I almost said Halloween Havoc, but that's not this week, is it? Or is it tomorrow?
It's the 20th.
Today's the 20th, so I don't know. Is it?
No,
it's got to be next week, right? Because it's Halloween.
Next week, 28th.
Fuck it. We're out of time.